And the Bible says, let us know these things so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. We can apply our hearts to wisdom. That's the subject matter for today. We continue in our series. There's an app for that. I don't know about you, but every week of life that I walk, at the end of the week, I look back on it and go, you know what? I did some dumb things this week. There were some situations, some times where I feel like, you know, I could have done better at that. I don't always apply my heart to wisdom. I got to tell you, every week I have good intentions at the outset of the week, and by the end of the week, I've already made some dumb decisions. Has anybody else in the room made a dumb decision sometime this week? Anybody? Thank you. I was starting to feel alone. I know I'm among humans today, and we do that. I mean, we get to the end of the week and go, wow, you know? Lord, help me with wisdom. Help me with wisdom. A few years ago, I ministered in Tulsa, Oklahoma. One of the things that was very interesting about living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or on the outskirts of Tulsa, was that the city was carefully planned from its founding, from the very outset of Tulsa. Because of the careful planning of the city of Tulsa, the streets are all laid out on a grid. And if you've ever traveled through the city, you know this. It's easy to find your place from one to another. Even if you don't know the exact address in the city of Tulsa, if you're familiar with the system, I could tell you an address, and without having to look at a map or pull out your GPS on your phone, you could drive to the address if you just understand how the grid system is laid out. It was really great because actually this grid system extended some 20 miles from the city. I actually lived over 20 miles from the city of Tulsa, but you could find my address based on the way that they laid out the city of Tulsa. I actually lived in a city north of Tulsa called Skytook. And it was really fascinating to me how they had this, and so it was very convenient when we needed to go places to know this. Then I moved to Georgia. I've lived collectively in the city of Georgia for over 10 years. And I heard someone once make this statement. They said the roads in Georgia must have been laid out or plotted by a drunk guy riding an even drunker horse. That's how they got the systems in Georgia. Just kind of nilly-willy, whatever happens, go throw one over there and we'll give it some weird name. There you go. You know, so I found it very interesting, the road. So, hey, good luck. Thankfully, we have GPS systems these days because I got to tell you, I've been a little, I'm a lot lazier than I used to be as far as mapping and following maps. Are you that way? How many of you don't use atlases anymore? Huh? That did? I used to, every Christmas, one of the go-to presents that my wife would buy me on behalf of the children, oddly enough, one of those things. It's usually soap on a rope or socks, right? But one of mine was an atlas. Every year, I could count on that Rand McNally app from our atlas from Walmart, right? $4.97. We don't get those anymore because we got our GPS and we become lazy because we have a source of wisdom. Isn't that so cool? I mean, and some of you are still holdouts. When I hold up my phone here in just a second, when I do that, this is what some of you do. You know, and just as if this is an evil device. I don't want that thing. I can still get places, thank you. Yeah, we'll come find you after a while. We'll track you down. But anyway, I love the wisdom I can find on my phone when it comes to maps. That's very, very helpful, although it's not always right. I'll get to that in a moment. But today we're going to be talking about wisdom. Because we need help in this life. Can I hear a big amen? We need help. There is an app for that today. God makes this promise in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. We'll read the text in its thoroughness in a moment, the entire passage. But here's what verse 11 says. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. That is good to know. Boy, that's good to know. There it is, our app today, our app for wisdom, because we need help. We need God to help us in this life. Our world says that religion is a life of shackles, that if you are a part of the church or fundamentalism, or whatever you want to say, that it's a life of boredom, that it's a life devoid of fun, a life of complete misery. It has no benefits. I would challenge that directly from the Word of God today and also based on experience. And I think you would too. If you've been in Christ any length of time, you know that just the opposite is true. The life of a believer is filled with the best things a human could hope for. A life of a believer is filled with things like joy and peace and mercy and fulfillment and love. Now, do any of those things sound terrible to you today? So let's add wisdom to the list. You can gain wisdom by being a believer. Does that sound so terrible to you today? No, of course it doesn't. So let's read our entire passage here. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. And I love these verses. And it starts right off with giving us a simple command: get wisdom. There it is. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, as we tend to do, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Now, the writer knew that we needed to just kind of go back and reiterate already, because I've already lost you in reading two verses. Some of you went from yes to, all right? He wakes us back up and says it again: get wisdom. Whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. Boy, that is some great admonition today. And I love how simply the writer laid it out for us to learn today, that we need to pay attention. At the very least, get wisdom. It was said twice there in that passage. Now, today I want to give you two huge benefits. The first is going to take most of the time. The second will just kind of wrap the first up, okay? Two huge benefits to following God, to being a believer, getting the app of wisdom today that'll keep us on the straight path of life when we have the challenges of life that take us down roads that we're uncertain about, that take us through curves, and we just don't get it sometime. Here's the first great benefit to being a follower of the Lord. Boy, this is deep. Hang with me today. The first benefit is direction. Now, how about that? It's direction. I mentioned at the outset, I talked specifically about directions, because we need directions on so many things. Some of you, maybe even for lunch today, decided you were going to try a new recipe, right? And there on the recipe, I've seen some people looking. I must have hit on something here today, because several of you went, you know? So some of you are trying. You know what one of the most interesting things is when somebody fixes new recipes? When they don't follow the directions. Well, I tell you what, my mama used to say, you do it this way. I'm just going to kind of go away from this recipe for a minute. I'm going to do my own thing, right? How many of you have absolutely ruined recipes because you didn't follow the direct? Hang on, Marie, I hadn't even asked the question yet. You ruined the recipe because you didn't follow the directions all the way to the end. Now raise your hand. There you go. Amen. Katie has, she is a creative little girl, and she's always been that way. She makes some of the most interesting things, but there's a time when she was, years ago, a lot smaller, when she wanted to make, I think, cupcakes, right? Well, she was determined to make cupcakes by her own recipe. How long have cupcakes been invented? I mean, I don't know that we can even know, because it evidently goes back before the time of Christ. The directions were laid out back then. Just look at the directions. But no, Katie, in her creative, you know, she's going to make a new way to make. And I'm telling you what, the problem with that is we had to taste them. We would have to be the ones that try these things out. We're looking at them going, and you taste them and you, you know. And anyway, so it's, she finally learned that sometimes you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? Stay simple. Follow the directions on something. And in the Christian life, we don't have to reinvent the wheel of the Christian life. The simple directions are laid out for us. We can trust God not to send us down a path of life that is wrong. Now, people still seem to challenge God on this. Well, I can do this. I can figure this thing out on my own. Really, do you not want to look at the millions of people who have gone before us and learn that, boy, you know, there's some mistakes to be made if I follow human beings versus God, right? I read a funny story a few days ago about bad directions. Three young women escaped the sinking Mercedes-Benz SUV after the vehicle's GPS directed them down a boat launch and into the Mercer Slough in Bellevue, Washington. Here's the story. The driver thought she was on a road while following her GPS unit just after midnight, but she was actually headed down a boat launch. The road was dark and the driver crashed the SUV into the water in Mercer Slough Nature Park. One of the women immediately jumped to safety. The other two women tried to stay with the SUV as long as they could by standing on the side door frames, but they finally had to wade to safety when the vehicle kept drifting out further into the slough. All three women made it out safely, but the SUV was completely underwater. They were in town for a conference and were trying to get to a hotel in Bellevue. If you know as well as I do, man's technologies, although they are very cool and coming along every day, still have flaws in them. They still have flaws. As long as man's fingerprints are going to be on things in this life, you can just rest assured we're going to make a mess and cars are still going to head down boat ramps because that's just humanness. We cannot get away from the fact that we make mistakes as human beings. But here's what I'll say to you today. Thank God He doesn't make mistakes. His directions, His guidance, they're always perfect. Every part of His direction will give us good advice. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those that enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And the tragedy of this is that people keep trying to go down the broad way of life that leads to destruction. And many people know this. As a minister, I can't tell you the many times I counsel with people. And I want to say when they walk into the office, did you not see that that was a wide way to destruction? Did you not understand already? And I know good and well they did understand that this is headed in the wrong direction. And here we go as human beings just hoping that I'm going to be the one that gets out of this safely. Man, we hope and we pray for the generations to come that they will lean more and more on the Scriptures and the guidance of God in their life and avoid some of the dumb things that we did when we were younger. How many of you hope for the next generations they will not do what you did? Anybody here today? Look at that. Young people, look at these hands. You know what that's saying? They went down the wrong road some in life, and they don't want you to do that. That's the way that leads to destruction. For all of us today, Jesus said, okay then, you better learn about the narrow way. It's a little harder to find it. It's a little more defined. So you've got to take time to learn about the wisdom, the direction that God gives in this life. But thankfully, the way it's described is as it is a direction system that leads to life. That sounds good to me. I want the way that leads to life rather than death. Think of two funnels. You know, one has a narrow end towards you. The other has a broad end toward you. Now, the narrow choice seems constrictive at first. All right? My narrow end seems constrictive at first. But when you enter this way, this narrow way of God, it broadens up. It seems more free and full of options the further that I go in. And the more I find out the freedom in Christ, my life opens up into a world of possibilities. And just the opposite is true. When you enter the broad way, it constricts you. Our world would tell you, no. The Broadway is full of fun and it's always full of choices. Or the Bible warns us it's not. It always ends in a constricted path that leads to death. That end of things for me would be a narrow way of destruction. It always funnels in. But life in Christ funnels out to a wonderful, broad life. And that's a good way to visualize the two. Jesus gave this illustration. He gave it. And he says this, at first you've got to look at me because no one comes to the Father except through me. And that looks, again, constrictive. Our world would say, no, you can have many choices of how you get to the Father, many ways of how to get to heaven, many ways of how to live your life religiously. But Jesus said, no, it's not true. Our truth of the Word of God says Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. It looks constrictive, but once you enter this narrow way, the possibilities open up into life. And some people decide that way is too narrow. They look at Christianity and they say, I'm not going to do that to myself. I want to be able to live a little fuller, a little more freely. Again, a trick of the devil. They want more options, so they choose this wide path. And it makes claims. And we hear these claims that are laid out all around us. I was reading on this, making the statements like all roads lead to God. George Lucas, the creator of the Star Wars series, said this in a magazine interview. He made a comment that represents really what many people think about today's world religions. This is what he said. I remember when I was 10 years old, I asked my mother, if there's only one God, why are there so many religions? I've been pondering that question ever since, and the conclusion I've come to is that all religions are true. So for him, it's a broad choice to start with. Madonna, now that dates me a little bit, and those of you that are my age are about-ish know the name Madonna, pop superstar from years ago. She concurs, this is what she says, I do believe that all paths lead to God. It's a shame that we end up having religious wars because so many of the messages are the same. She's right about that last part, probably. According to one study, 60% of young people today would agree that all roads equally lead to God. That's scary. 60% young people believe that all roads lead to God. There are many ways. And here's what I will concur with today. There are many ways, and they all will lead to God, okay? I'm going to agree with that statement today. All roads do lead to God. But the narrow way leads to acceptance by God. All other ways except the narrow way listed in the Bible lead to the same place. And according to our passage today, that place is destruction and rejection by God. One way or the other, you will get to God. Once this life is over, we've all got to stand before Him in judgment. So you're going to get to God. All roads do lead to God. But I want to fall on His side of mercy and His side of acceptance, the way that He defined direction in the Bible. In his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, the author Charles Swindoll, and you know him, Chuck Swindoll, tells the story about a 19th century agnostic named Thomas Huxley, and some of you might know that it was Huxley that actually promoted Darwinism and humanism in his attacks on Christianity. But Huxley, in this story, was in Dublin one time and was rushing to catch a train, and he climbed aboard one of Dublin's famous horse-drawn taxis, and he said to the driver, hurry, I'm almost late, go, drive fast, please. And off they went in a furious pace, and Huxley sat back in his seat, and he closed his eyes. And after a while, Huxley opened his eyes, and he glanced out the window, and he noticed they were going in the wrong direction. Realizing at that moment he had not told the driver where to take him, he yelled out the window, "Do you know where you're going?" And the driver replied back, "No, Your Honor, but I am driving very fast." Many people are off in this life at a furious pace. They're headed in, and they're just blazing a trail. They don't know where they're going. They've not got a defined direction in this life. And today, I have to just say, God, help me. In this life, I need to be able to pick up my Bible. And I need to say, God, help me here. I got to find that app of direction and help. And God says, yes, Thank you. I've been waiting on you to get direction because you're off in life at a furious pace, but do you really know where you're going in that furious pace of life? One of the most well-known passages of the Bible is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Boy, isn't that encouraging to know that God says, "I'll make it straight. You don't have to worry about the curves. I'll straighten those things out for you. I will help you. Don't lean on your own understanding." And this is a very powerful promise from Scripture. But if we want to be true in our lives, we need to ask, what does it mean to acknowledge God then? Because that's the part in this verse we sometimes kind of skip over. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What does it mean to acknowledge God? So let's pull a few things out of that chapter, okay? And talk about some additional answers. Number one, we've got to simply learn God's truth. Start with the basics. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." So the elementary truth today is we've simply got to stop and learn what God says. I want to just be able to absorb. No, we got to learn it. I want to just know that it's there by osmosis. No, it doesn't work that way like anything. You've got to learn God's truth. It isn't enough for you to carry your Bible into church on Sunday. You got to break that thing open and learn it for yourself. We've got to let the Holy Spirit write the Word of God on our hearts and learn what it says. It needs to become a part of who we are. And I've seen people's lives change when they get serious about studying the Word of God. I've seen the transforming power of God's Word in my own life and in so many others. Some of you have yet to rely on God and trust His promises concerning the Bible. It really, really can change you. Now, knowing what God requires is the starting point. That's the very starting point, but it's not enough. There's a second answer we've got to go and listen to and heed, and it's obeying God's will. Obeying God's will. Here's what Proverbs 3:7 says. "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Wow, that's a problem with human beings. We want to be wise in our own eyes, but don't be wise in our own eyes. "Fear the Lord and shun evil." Fear the Lord and shun evil. Now, the very next statement, after verses 5 and 6, those are the verses everybody knows, right? 5 and 6. But the very next verse says, "Don't be a smarty pants." That's modern vernacular, sort of. Maybe that's a little bit antiquated now, but you get the point. That's the temptation, is to be wise in our own eyes. God cannot direct our path for us unless we listen to Him. God cannot direct our paths if you refuse to follow His directions. We must trust Him with all of our hearts and obey Him all in all of our ways. God's will is not revealed to the curious. Did you hear that today? God's will is not revealed to the curious. He wants you to dig in and really learn about Him. You never tried to have a relationship with your spouse or whoever, that special person in your life. You're just not curious about them. You want to really know about them and learn about them. And it's such with God. He knows if we're just curious or not. Now, here's something else. So in verses 9 and 10, same chapter. We need to plug into this. Share God's blessing, okay? You need to know God's truth, obey God's will, but share God's blessing. This goes on. These are just a few verses after those last verses, verse 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Interesting. Everything comes with God. This is a way that we acknowledge Him, that everything, God, I recognize You. I recognize everything is Yours in my life. Everything that surrounds me is from You. And if we trust God with all of our heart and we acknowledge Him in all that we do and we want Him to make our path straight, He says, okay, then honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. We don't give our tithes and offerings as payment for God's blessing. R.G. Letourneau used to say this, "If you give to God because it pays, if you give because it pays, it won't pay." It won't pay. That's a wrong attitude. And I think that's good food for thought. Instead, we give to God out of an overflow of faith and an overflow of obedience. And when we do, it's part of acknowledging God in our lives. But God, can't you just give me direction apart from the material things of life? Can't we just have that nice little relationship over there without me acknowledging you in the material things of life? Well, Jesus says you can't love God and money. And the problem is he needs to see that you love him supremely. So he said he wants you to prove it in the way that you give as well. Because he knows that we are tied to the things of this life so tightly that if we don't prove we acknowledge him in how we give, then he really is not going to be able to direct us anywhere else either. You see what I'm saying? It is intrinsically tied together. I read a humorous story about giving, and I think I may have used this in a Sunday evening class one time at church, but a man called the church, and he asked if he could speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary said, "Who?" And the man replied, it must have been in South Georgia. The man replied, "I want to speak to the head hog at the trough." And sure, now that she heard correctly, the secretary said, "Sir, if you mean our pastor, you are going to have to treat him with more respect and ask for the reverend or ask for the pastor. But certainly you cannot refer to him as the head hog at the trough." At this, the man came back and said, "Oh, I see. Well, I had $10,000 I was thinking about giving to the church, and I was going to come by and drop that off." And the secretary said, "Hold the line. I think the big pig just walked in." So, I would say, I don't know if that's true or not, but it probably is. I don't know. So the secretaries can absolutely call me the big pig this week if you plan on coming. By the way, I saw our tithes from last week, so we need to probably talk about this story a little bit. Oh no, that's pretty funny though. Anyway, here's the last thing in this part of the message today: submit to God's discipline. Yeah, I thought it might get kind of quiet there. We like the other things. We can deal with these other things. When you mention discipline, things get real nervous and quiet. Verses 11 and 12 from chapter 3. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." Now, I knew you wouldn't like that. I don't like it. Godly discipline is a part of God's plan for every one of his children. That sounds terrible, but it's inescapable if you read the Word of God. It's really the only way that we can grow to true maturity in the Christian life, is that at some point in life, we will probably face the hand of discipline from God. If you're a parent, you understand how hard discipline is. Discipline is not the same as punishment, all right? Loving discipline hurts, but the gain is worth the pain. No matter how much this experience may hurt us, it will never harm us, the discipline of God, because God always disciplines in love. Human beings sometimes have trouble with this, and we punish rather than just disciplining. Watchman Nee, who is considered one of the most important indigenous church leaders and thinkers in the history of the Chinese Christianity or churches, said this: "Our spirit is released according to the degree of our brokenness." And his story is fascinating, so he knows firsthand. "Our spirit is released according to the degree of our brokenness. The one who has accepted the most discipline is the one who can best serve. The more one is broken, the more sensitive he is." Boy, there is so much truth wrapped up in what he's saying. Sometimes when our spirit is crushed, it's then that we really understand God's purposes, and we're more keen to listen to the sensitive things of life, especially from the Holy Spirit. But sometimes when life is great and we're just kind of ignoring God in our life, he can't get our attention. We're not listening to him. We follow God's plans for us. When we use this app of wisdom that he gives us, we will find that it is indeed a wise choice. Because as we follow God's direction in our life, we're promised, the second thing I want to mention today, we are promised God's protection. We're looking for God's direction, but in finding His direction and following His direction, we will find His protection. Now, chapter 4 of Proverbs gives us a beautiful picture of God's protection for those who give themselves to wisdom. Everybody seems to know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but I want you to notice chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And here's what it said out of our text verses for today. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. She will love you back. Love her, and she will guard you. Look at that. Wisdom will actually guard us. Now, chapter 2, verse 8, just going back a few chapters, says this, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. And there's a portion pulled out of that verse. Beautiful language again. Guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Notice the protection again. But we notice something in these verses, as in many verses of the Bible. The promises that we've been looking at today from the book of Proverbs are provisional. They're very provisional. We get divine protection if we seek wisdom. All right? It's conditional. If we seek wisdom, if we initiate the app of wisdom in our life according to God's ways, if we do this, the chapter 4 tells us some of the ways that God will protect us. And I want to bring out one in closing today, because this is really the reason why human beings need God's help. It's because we are prone to stumble. We are prone to stumble. We simply, at some point in life, we are going to stumble. One of the old hymns that we sing time to time says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We would acknowledge that. Many of you are shaking your heads yes at me today. That's where we find ourselves in this life. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12 says this, when you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. In this life, God says there's going to be times you walk, there's going to be some times you run when you're wide open in this life. And God says if you trust in His wisdom, in His ways, in His teachings, follow His direction, that you won't be hampered, you won't be hindered, you won't stumble. I need that in my life. I know you do too. I hate to tell a story on my dad, especially since I know that he listens to my sermons online. So, Dad, sometime this week you're going to be listening to this. Sorry about that. You're not here to keep me from doing it. So, here it goes. Years ago, my dad was walking through the house at night. It was dark. And sometime in the middle of the night, not wanting to disturb my mom, he headed for wherever he was going. And now my dad, you got to understand something. He makes some really neat things out of wood. And over the years, he's mastered some beautiful projects out of wood. And unfortunately, one of these pieces that Dad had made was in the middle of the living room, which was a coffee table. And it was in his path to where he was going in the dark. He was just a little off there. And he stumbled. No, he didn't stumble. He full out fell on that coffee table in the middle of the night. He tripped on it, he fell on the coffee table, and he smashed it to pieces as he went down on top of it. And I'm sorry, I'm just in my mind, I'm thinking through the whole humorous story. I don't think it was probably humorous at the moment, but some of you are laughing with me. Go ahead, you can laugh, it makes me feel better for laughing at it. But there's Dad smashing his coffee table in the middle of the night. Now, you don't wish misfortune on anyone. I know you don't, but you've noticed how many people have made money, especially on YouTube, putting videos out there that are based on people's stumbling. You can go to YouTube at any moment and you can see videos posted of people falling. And it's humorous. I got to tell you, it's flat out funny to watch, because we know something. Number one, I know this. I'm glad that wasn't me. Number two, I know this. Sometime it is going to be me, and I hope nobody's holding their phone up. My son, Tyler, I promise, I'm just going to give you a warning. if there is anything going on at any time, this is Tyler's reaction, okay, to things. I promise you, within a nanosecond, he has got you on film. So if you are going to stumble, you better make sure my son is not around, because he is always looking for the moment to have you on film, all right? But young people are trained to do this. I mean, they're the ones, if somebody's going to catch the Sasquatch or a UFO, it's going to be one of the youngins, because the rest of us are going like this. Hey, what was that? What was that? Where's the camera on that? Well, heaven's sakes, I can't even get past the lock screen. Hey, what's my password? Oh, it's gone. The UFA is gone already? You know, am I right? All right. So it's going to be the young people. But here's something I do know. Regardless of who catches us on film, getting videoed, stumbling, falling on a piece of furniture, whatever, you know, that's going to happen in life. It's just a part of living these days. All of us, regardless of age here today, still at some point are going to cry out in our spirit for direction and protection, because we need it. Lord knows we need it. Amen. I'm going to borrow a couple stanzas from a poem that I actually had to learn and memorize when I was in high school. I remember this, I think it was in my English class, and some of you, I guarantee you, some of you probably will as well. It's a poem written by Robert Frost. Now, there's a lot of debate about the meaning of its origin, and it's interesting, you can read about that, but I actually find an interesting biblical principle in the last two stanzas that he wrote. He was not trying to give a biblical principle here, but the principle is there nonetheless. And you'll recognize the last two stanzas of this poem called The Road Not Taken. And this is what it says. And both that morning, both paths it is, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads to onto way, I doubted if I should ever come back. And I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And today I would say to us again, and just a reminder from your pastor, there are two paths laid out for us in the wood of life. We have to decide where it is we'll go, because truth is, once we've headed down one particular path, we're likely not to come back. So I would say to us, part of initiating that app of wisdom today is to say, we better make a choice, a wise, wise choice at the very outset, at this very moment. Some of you are challenged with making that decision right here this morning. Some of you may never have given into the Lordship of Christ in your life, and you're not a believer. You're not a follower of Christ yet. I would ask you, why, number one, have you not already done that? But number two, I would simply say to you, today's your day. Today is your day to plug into Jesus today and understand how His ways broaden out and lead to a life of satisfaction and fulfillment that you never knew. Today could be your day to take the road last traveled by that will make all the difference for you. And maybe some of you have entered the building today and, boy, you've got a mess. Maybe you've drug in some problems and some things, and you've come in today just needing God's help. And I'd say you've come to the right place. God says, yes, I can help with that. I can help put you on the path of wisdom. Maybe some difficult choices that need to be made, maybe a prayer of forgiveness, and whatever. There's some things that you may need to do to plug in to God's ways today. And again, you've come to the right place, the right time. But I challenge you this, whatever your need is today, don't leave having not made that decision. I want you to do that today, because Christ, through His Holy Spirit, will call you to action and to say, this is my choice, this is my time, this is my moment, where I believe and I listen to the fact that there's an app for that. God has given me a way to deal with things in my life, and it's through the wisdom that He gives us. Father, today, this is Your word, and it just, some people say there's nothing in the Bible for me. Well, today we've proven that to be absolutely false. We've just looked at the Word of God in a way that there's no way you can get around the fact that God says He will lead us and help us in this life if we just follow what He says. Just do it. And dear God, I just pray that during this time of decision, that's what this is right now, Lord. You know, we do this every week. This is a time of decision, that You'd help people that are teetering on the edge of making a decision for You. Holy Spirit, would You give them a soft nudge one more time so that they will respond to Your call? Your ways are peace. Your ways are life. Your ways are the truth. So, dear Lord, have Your way now. Because I pray it in Jesus' name, His mighty, mighty name today.